Blog Talk Radio.
Hello there. It's time. It's time for Awaken to Empowerment. It's time for a paradigm shift. It's time for awakening of consciousness. It's a time for love, empowerment, joy, happiness, life excel, your ideal life. It's time to create. This is Carol Ann Parisi. We're going to talk about winning wisdom today, because it's Wednesday. It's Winning Wisdom Wednesday. Are you awake? Are you aware? Do you know what's going on in the world? Do you care? Well, I am very excited to be here today. It's a sweat day in the Chi-Town area, so it's awesome. I've been doing a lot of other research on other things, and there are such wonderful, timeless truths out there. Let's get into, we're going to like go and do our very happy Mr. James Allen. James Allen is just amazing. We love him and all of his good work. Looking to do our very happy every day with James Allen in every way. There's some really good little books. You can do like a short 30-day program, pretty quick and easy. Wisdom. Wisdom is a good thing. It's a learned thing. It's something that will serve you. It will serve you, and it serves your willpower. Wisdom also gives you discernment when you allow it to. All these really awesome and empowering words are yours to create your ideal and most successful life. I'm so excited we did get through a wonderful Napoleon Hill Timeless Truth Secrets. Can never have enough of that. We will be doing Napoleon Hill's that wonderful, what's it called? Conversation with the Devil, I think it's called. I think that's what it's called. But, of course, my computer is sucking on ice, so I'm really just kind of taking some time right now and looking for our timeless truth wisdom for today's meditation. And, I have not gotten the new computer yet. It is on my manifestation and desire list, And it just, it's not happening this second. So remember, meditation is hugely important. And it's not any kind of special activity, but it's just a simplicity to be still. And in the stillness, there's so much wonder and goodness, and you will be empowered and awakened when you are still. And it's just something you really, you need to go ahead and do on a regular basis. It's a beautiful thing. And that's what this James Allen thing is. It's everyday meditations for people, us, humans, the human race. Yesterday we were talking about all this selfishness. Well, today is the 28th of September, and yes, of course, the computer's still slow, but we're going to get there. We've got our morning thoughts, and we've got our evening thoughts, and then we have our meditation. So here, there is no difficulty. Here's the thought for the morning. There is no difficulty, however great, but will yield before a calm and a powerful concentration of thought, and no legitimate object but may be speedily actualized by the intelligent use and direction of one's soul forces. I want to unpack that a little bit. There's really no difficulty, however great, how big stuff is, but before a calm and powerful concentration of thought, things may be speedily actualized by the intelligent use and direction of one's soul forces. Wow. Dive into that source of your soul, the force of your soul. That's very powerful. Maybe that's where the Force Awakens comes from, you know? Whatever your task may be, concentrate your whole mind upon it. Throw into it all the energy which you are capable. The faultless completion of a small task leads inevitably to larger tasks. See that you rise by steadily climbing and you will never fail. So it goes back to that wonderful biblical passage, he who is faithful with little can be faithful with much. So that's a pretty deep concept right there. And that's the thought for the morning. So if you have a dream, a burning desire, that's it. Everybody knows this, right? This is what we do. This is what Winning Wednesday is all about. It's champion principle. So you have that burning desire, you put all of your energy into it. So our meditation for the day is belief is an attitude of mind determining the whole course of one's life. Belief is the basis of all action. And this being so, the belief which dominates the heart or the mind is shown in the life. Every man acts, thinks, lives in exact accordance with his belief, which is rooted in his innermost being. And such is the mathematical nature of the laws which govern mind that is absolutely impossible for anyone to believe in two opposing conditions at the same time. I don't know. I think sometimes we humans do that, though. It's like, I do believe this, but, always those big buts, right? But it says here, it's absolutely impossible for anyone to believe in two opposing conditions at the same time. For instance, it's impossible to believe in justice and injustice, hatred and love, peace and strife, self and truth. Every man believes in one or the other of these opposites, never in both, and the daily conduct of every man indicates the nature of his belief. Belief and conduct are inseparable, for the one determines the other. Interesting. Thought for the evening. He who knows that love is at the heart of all things and has realized all-sufficing power of love has no room in his heart for condemnation. If you love people, speak to them with praise until they in some way thwart you or do something of which you disapprove. Then you dislike them and speak of them with dispraise. You are not governed by love, which is of God. If in your heart you are continually arranging and condemning others, selfless love, it's hidden from you. Is that what I'm reading? Train your mind in strong, impartial, and gentle thought. Train your heart in purity and compassion. Train your tongue in silence. Interesting. And true and stainless speech, so you shall enter the way of holiness and peace and shall ultimately realize immortal love. Yeah, love knows all things. Love is all things. And Jesus is love, and God is love. And for God so loved the world, he gave his son. And love is a good thing. Love is pure. Love is kind. Love is patient. there's a lot. I think it's the Beatitudes, and it talks about love. So I'm going to unpack this. He who knows love is at the heart of all things has realized all-sufficing power of love that has no room in his heart for condemnation. Well, I've read something. I know Bob Marley says when, was it Jimi Hendrix? I don't know. When the power of love overcomes the love of power, then there'll be peace. So, I mean, personal power is a great thing. Wanting to control others and big government power, that kind of stinks on ice. I was listening to some things today, and one of the most profound things I listened to was two really that impressed upon me. One's a little too deep for me to explain at this point because it goes into quantum physics and string theory and space-time continuum craziness. So I still can't articulate it. I'm starting to get it, though, the more and more I look at it. But anyway, I was listening to one of the preachers on TV as I was waking up this morning, and it was really pretty cool because he said this. He's like, you pray to God and ask for something. So, I mean, if you don't believe in God, I'm sorry, but I do. But ask the universe for something, and then you keep asking for the same thing. And you keep asking for the same thing. And that's not faith. That is not real faith. So what he said to do, and I've been doing this, and it's really kind of cool. It's like you ask God for your intention. You ask for your intention. You put your intention out there, and you do your best to make the intention, you know, become reality. Of course, you need that action, right? But then you've got to just stay, Selah. Just believe, and then you thank God, you thank the universe for already receiving it, even though you don't know, you don't see it yet, but you act as if, and that's an incredible, powerful thing. So it's just such a timeless principle when I heard of that, and I just really, really figured that there was a genius behind that, and I do believe that that's really how our Creator wants us to honor Him, her, honor our Creator that way, where you don't have to keep begging and asking and, you know, just believe with your heart and your mind and just let it rest now. So that's my new practice. Still no word on my exciting, my exciting life. So anyway, that was that, and then I was listening to, I think it was David Wilcox, he's on the Ancient Aliens show, and now he's on Gaia TV, but I was listening to a YouTube video today. It was pretty interesting, and he was talking about, just was really, I mean, I could understand a really small portion of it, but it resonated with me, and it's spirituality. But it's how we're created in our DNA. And at the end of the day, God, in natural law, there are so many clues. There are so many patterns, like the Fibonacci sequence, the golden numeral, and just, you know, all these different mandalas and the I don't know, all this different stuff. But it's really, really cool. I'd like to learn more about it and share it. I don't know that, but my mind is open and my heart is open to learn different things. I mean, you know, God created everything. Our Creator created everything. And I think sometimes, you know, we want to put, you know, this magnificent being, this Creator being, this loving, all love, all powerful, omniscient, omnipresent being into a box. And I don't think that's serving the being. But the being is definitely love. God is love. And now I'm going to go back and going back to the James Allen, the 8 Pillars of Prosperity. We started a little bit of that yesterday. And, you know, there are 8 pillars. The first pillar is energy. The second pillar is economy. The third pillar is integrity. The fourth pillar is system. The fifth pillar is sympathy. The sixth pillar is sincerity. The seventh pillar is impartiality. The eighth pillar is self-reliance. And then you go to the temple of prosperity. And yesterday we got into it a little bit, talking just about the brief overview. And he was looking at the birds and how they were creating things. And then he said, a temple built by man is much more complicated structure than a bird's nest. Yet it is erected in accordance with the mathematical principles which are everywhere and evident in nature. Here we go back to nature and math and these principles, these mathematical principles and universal principles. It's so interesting. And seeing how man and material things obeys universal principles, he never attempts to put up a building in defiance of geometrical proportions. for he knows that such a building would be unsafe, and the first storm in all probability level it to the ground. If indeed it did not fall about his ears during the process of erection, man in his material building scrupulously obeys the fixed principles of circle, square, and angle, and aided by rule, plumb line, compass, and he raises his structure, which resists the fiercest storms and afford him to secure shelter and safe protection. So it says, oh, all this is very simple, and it's simple because it's true and perfect. In mind as in matter, in thoughts as in things, in deeds and as a natural process, there's a fixed foundation of law, which if it consciously or ignorantly ignored leads to disaster and defeat. It is indeed the ignorant violation of this law, which is the cause of the world's pain and sorrow. In matter, this law is present as mathematical, and in mind, it is perceived as moral. But the mathematical and the moral are not separate and opposed. They are but two aspects of a united whole. Oh, man, math? This is kind of interesting. But see, this goes back to the sacred geometry. And, you know, this is just very, very interesting. Okay. The fixed principles of mathematics to which all matter is subject are the body of which the spirit is ethical, while the eternal principles of morality are mathematical truisms operating in the universe of mind. This is so deep. Oh, my gosh. It is impossible to live successfully apart from moral principles and to build successfully while ignoring mathematical principles. Characters like houses only stand firmly. The building of character, the bricks, are deeds. Business and all human enterprise are not exempt from the eternal order, but can only stand securely by the observance of fixed laws. Prosperity, to be stable and enduring, must rest on a solid foundation of moral principle and be supported by the, oh my gosh, what is this word, adamantine pillars of one kind or another. Adamantine pillars of sterling character. Don't know that word. The adamantine pillars of sterling character and moral worth. In the attempt to run a business in defiance of moral principles, disaster of one kind or another is inevitable. The permanently prosperous men in any community are not its tricksters and deceivers, but its reliable, upright men. The Quakers are acknowledged to be the most upright men in British community. Although their numbers are small, they are the most prosperous. The Jains in India are similar in numbers and sterling worth. They are the most prosperous people in India. Men speak of building up business, and indeed, business is much building as brick house or stone church. Albeit the process of building is a mental one, prosperity, like a house, is a roof over a man's head, affording him protection and comfort. A roof presupposes a support, and a support necessitates a foundation. The roof of prosperity, then, is supported by the following eight pillars, which are cemented into the foundation of moral consistency. And then we go into the energy, economy, integrity, system, sympathy, sincerity, impartiality, and self-reliance. Okay, this is just the introduction. So, this a business built upon the faultless practice of all these principles would be firm. Nothing could injure it, nothing could undermine it, nothing could interrupt its success. So these principles, these are the success principles. This is where the rubber meets the road. So let's see. These eight principles, then in greater or lesser degree, are causative factors in all success of whatsoever kind. Underneath all prosperity, they are strong supports, and however appearances may be against such, a conclusion measure them in forms. It says, it is true that comparatively few successful men practice in their entirety and perfection all the eight principles. So I guess this is, you know, it says, leaders, teachers, and guides, the supports of human society are strong pioneers in the van of human evolution. So it's time to evolve to some of these things. This is pretty cool. Few achieve moral perfection. It's the acme of success. All lesser successes come from the partial observance of the principles. So there you go. The boundary lines of a man's morality mark the limits of his success. So true that to know when a man's moral status would be to know to mathematically gauge his ultimate success or failure. The temple of prosperity only stands so far as supported by moral pillars, and as they are weakened, it becomes insecure, and they are withdrawn, it crumbles and totters to ruin. Individuals, families, nations grow and prosper in harmony with their growth and moral strength and knowledge. They fall and fail in accordance with moral decadence. Hello, America. Hello, America. Now, I mean, I know he's not going into what morality is here, but, you know, when you have people getting something for nothing and redistribution and everybody wanting free this and free that, interesting. One moral act is another solid brick in the temple of prosperity. Wow, this is really... Okay, mentally as physically, only that which has form and solidity can stand and endure. The unmoral is nothingness, and from nothing can be formed. It is the negotiation of substance. The immoral is destruction, and its negotiation of form is a process of spiritual denudation. Love these words. I don't know what denudation is, but I'm sure, you know, if you're negating to do moral things, it's probably degradation. Denunation is probably the same type of thing. When it undermines and disintegrates, it leaves scattered material ready for a wise builder, Wisdom Wednesday, to put it into form again. And the wise builder is morality. The moral is substance, form, and building power. Morality always builds up and preserves, for that is nature, for being the opposite of immortality, and which breaks down and destroys. Morality is the master builder everywhere, whether in individuals or nations. Morality is invincible, and he who stands upon it to the end stands upon an impregnable rock, so that his defeat is impossible, his triumph certain. He will be tried and to the utmost. Without fighting, there can be no victory. So this is really interesting. I mean, it just keeps going and how morality and you know, one of our founders, John Adams, said a constitution is for, you know, people of moral substance, a godly and moral people will serve no other. I'm not a real big one on morality. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I believe in morality, but maybe I'm missing the mark here, and there's some growth here for me. I don't like telling people what to do. I do believe people should come to their own truth, but then again, that's subjective morality, and I do believe in a divine God who gives. I like the Ten Commandments. Those are pretty easy, you know. I mean, there's 10 things. You know, I am the Lord thy God, thou will have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not bow down to any graven image. Well, you know what? We're a materialistic society. Are we bowing down to graven images in you know, retrospect here? Thou shalt not use the Lord thy God's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Honor thy mother and thy father. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not lie, I think. No. Oh, I'm going to miss it. Wait a minute. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Here we talked about taking something that's immoral. And thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not want somebody else's stuff. So, I mean, if we do that, but think about this society. If you think about how our government is and its redistributive processes, what we're doing is people are, it's against the Tenth Commandment. They're wanting something that they're not willing to work for that belongs to somebody else. So maybe this is why we're a degraded society. Just saying, just thinking, you know, a little awakening time. It's wisdom. You know, Wednesday is deep, profound, but morality is very interesting. It says moral force is the life of all success and sustaining element in prosperity, but there are various kinds of successes and frequently necessary. A man should fall into one direction, he may be reached to a greater and more far-reaching success. For instance, A literary, artistic, or spiritual genius should begin by trying to make money. It may be, and often is, his advantage and betterment of his genius should fall therein, so he may achieve more sublime success, and wherein lies his real power. Many a millionaire would be doubtless be willing to barter his millions for the literary success of Shakespeare or the spiritual success of a Buddha, and when thereby consider he made a good bargain. Exceptional spiritual success is rarely accompanied with riches, yet financial success cannot in any way compare with its greatness or grandeur. But I'm not in this book dealing with the success of a saint or spiritual genius, but with the success which concerns on welfare, well-being, happiness, and the broadly average man and woman, in a word, with the prosperity which, being more or less connected with money, being present and temporal, yet is not confined thereto, but extends and embraces all human activities which particularly relate to harmony of the individual with the circumstances, which produces satisfaction called happiness, and that comfort known as prosperity. The achievement of this end, so desirable to the mass of mankind, let us now see how the eight principles operate and how the roof of prosperity is raised and made secure upon the pillars by which it is supported. How cool is that? So the first pillar is energy, okay? Energy is the working power in all achievement. Inert coal converts to fire. In water, it transmutes into steam. It vitrifies and intensifies, and the commonest talent until it approaches genius, and when it is touches the mind of the dullard, it turns into a living fire, that which before was sleeping in inertia. Energy is a moral virtue, its opposing vice being laziness. As a virtue, it can be cultivated, and the lazy man can become energetic by forcibly arousing himself to exertion. Compared with the energetic man, the lazy man is not half alive. Even while the latter is talking about difficulty of doing such a thing, the former is doing it. The active man has done considerable amount of work before the lazy man has roused himself from sleep. While the lazy man is waiting for an opportunity, the active man has gone out and met and utilized a half a dozen opportunities. He does things while the other is rubbing his eyes. Energy is one of the primary forces. Without it, nothing can be accomplished. It is the basic element in all forms of action. That's true. Everything is energy. That goes back to our quantum physics and all of the, you know, everything that's in motion. The entire universe is a manifestation of tireless, though inscrutable energy. Energy is indeed life, and without it, there would be no universe, no life. When a man has ceased to act, when the body lies inert and all the functions have ceased to act, then we say he is. So, with that, we have 90 seconds left. We'll continue down the energy path tomorrow. And thank you for joining me today. I'm sorry if things just, you know, I'm starting to get this computer thing figured out. When I get another one, get some resources to get another one, I'll have two. It'll be much smoother. But I'm going to really, you know, unpack some of these ancient truths. And I hope you listen to them. I'm going to listen to them again. I do. And I get some benefit from them. So thank you for joining me. This is Carol Ann Parisi, and Awaken to Empowerment. You know what? Be the change you wish to see in the world. Seek knowledge. This is Wisdom Wednesday, and it's just time to have a better world. So it's World Wisdom Wednesday. It's Wistful Wisdom Wednesday, Wealth Wisdom Wednesday. So join me here every day. Or just download it. Thanks again for being part of our Awaken to Empowerment. Hope you enjoyed this show. This is Carol Parisi going to the studio if the computer does. If not, well, I'll be done talking here real soon. Thanks for joining me. This is Carol Parisi. I'm sure this show is over. Okay, we got 10 more seconds. Great. Thank you. Thank you for joining me. This is Carol Parisi. We'll catch you back here a la mañana. Awaken to empowerment. 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 Awaken to empowerment.